So there you have it. That was cathartic for us to put that together. It's good to look back and see all that the Lord has done in the last 6 months. So, yeah, we struggled to know how to sum everything up, obviously, but our mantra is that the Lord has been faithful to our family. So, again, it has been such a privilege to to be where we have been and to be the hands and feet of Christ in Panama. So we're going to break down kind of what's been happening into a few categories here, and then we'll close with a couple of just really incredible stories of God's faithfulness. We came to the place where we are via a mutual friend of the Pattons. They were the YWAM, Youth with a Mission, leaders at a base on this island in Panama. And they had been working closely with Simone, who was the gentleman that you saw in quite a few photos, an older Nobe man. And he had a vision for an agricultural ministry to help his Nobe people, to meet some of their crippling physical needs, as well as to bring the gospel. Simone is a believer and a very gifted evangelist, and passionate about growing food. So he came to these YWAM leaders and said, I want to do this. They said, that's great. We don't have time, and we also don't really have any skills, but we will be praying about finding people to join you in this effort. And so we were hooked up with them and had some conversations and decided to go and to do a short, kind of a long vision trip to see if this is something that we would want to do. And shortly after we arrived, they left for a sabbatical that we knew that they were going to do. But then shortly after leaving for that sabbatical, they resigned from YWAM. So they didn't come back, and nobody came. So our family then, after about 3 weeks of being there, kind of fell into being the YWAM base leaders for this place in Panama. We had three groups that came through over that kind of 5 months. God stretched our family a lot. We met an incredible number of kids in their early 20s who were coming through to do the outreach portion of their DTS training. We were blessed, and we were a blessing. It was hard, but it was really, really, really good. And we just believe that God's timing was perfect and that it wasn't an accident that our family was there serving in that way for that time. So in addition to that kind of ministry that we kind of have started calling serving King Jesus as dorm parents, because that's mostly what we felt like we were, we had the privilege of growing in relationship with our Nobe neighbors. So this base is situated, again, on a remote island off the coast of Panama that sits kind of right between two villages of Nobe people. And then the remainder of that area is just more and more islands getting more and more remote as you go out, with larger and larger villages of Nobe people. So the base that we were on kind of was surrounded by these two Nobe villages, and we were so blessed to just grow in relationship with them. And as Pastor was reading that scripture, and it talks about, you know, if you come to a house that receives you, stay there. I will tell you that those villages received our family, and we stayed, and we intend to go back, because the Lord made it very clear to us that through them, that is where he wants us to be. So relationship ministry with our Nobe neighbors looked like lots and lots of pots of coffee with lots and lots of sugar. The Nobe really love sugar in their coffee. I would bring out what would be a respectable amount of sugar for one to put in one's coffee, and it would be empty, and they would ask for more sugar. So I just got into the habit of, like, bringing out a large bowl of sugar and a spoon along with their cup of coffee, because they really love sugar in their coffee. Lots of games of baseball and kickball and volleyball and Uno and Spot It. lots of Band-Aids, lots of ibuprofen, lots of pitchers of water, and a lot of evenings spent fishing. And it was such a joy to just walk alongside of our Nobe neighbors and live with them. We did do some more formal ministries. We started a children's ministry that met once a week, and Andy would take his boat and drive the boat to all these kind of outskirting areas and pick up kids and bring them back. And we'd play really loud games and read. We are working our way through the Jesus Storybook Bible in Spanish. I've been meeting weekly with a group of women in the village closest to us to drink coffee, to pray together. We've been learning some worship songs in Spanish and also in Nobe, which is, again, their native language, and just talking about who Jesus is and how we are encountering him. And I've also been teaching English. The Nobe, again, Spanish is actually their second language. Nobe would be their first language. And then they want to learn English because if they're going to have any hope of getting any job, especially their kids that are coming up in this new generation, they need to know some English. And so we have been teaching English. And I think that maybe they're learning English faster than I'm learning Spanish, which has been a little bit humbling. But they've been doing really, really well. So the Nobe, I want to tell you just a little bit more about the Nobe people in general. And then Andy's going to then jump into how this vision that Simone had, which is so similar to the vision that the Lord gave Andy, you know, years ago when we had first thought about going to Africa. So the Nobe are a marginalized and oppressed people by every definition of the word. They are denied any of the economic opportunities that do come through that area, which are actually quite a few because it's a very touristy area. It's kind of similar to Grand Marais in that way. It's a place where people want a vacation. It's in the Caribbean. There are islands. There are like some world-class surfing beaches in this area. So there is a lot of tourism that goes through that area, but there's a really rigid caste system in where they are that keeps them out of that economic flow. Decades ago, a lot of that area was settled by Chinese immigrants with the building of the Panama Canal, and now they are second and third generation Chinese Panamanians. And they own most, if not all, of the businesses in this area. And so they always will hire Chinese people first. If they can't hire a Chinese person, they will hire a Hispanic Panamanian. If they can't hire a Hispanic Panamanian, they will hire a Caribbean Panamanian. And then it stops there. And then there's this entire population of Nobe people that they just will not hire because they hate them. They have an incredible prejudice against them. So we have a marginalized people with no inroad to the economic system. They are crippled by malnutrition due to the fact that what they can grow is all starch vegetables in a soil that has no nutrients. So they are basically eating starch with zero nutrients. So they are malnourished, and yet they struggle with obesity and diabetes. It's just a really interesting and complicated combination. Preterm birth, infant death is the experience that characterizes most of childbearing women. They are widely illiterate, ignorant of communicable disease and basic hygiene, and most urgent of all, they've been fed a religion that has its roots in animism, voodoo, with a smattering of Protestant prosperity gospel. So in addition to all of their physical needs, they need Jesus. So as often as we have had the privilege of laughing with our Nobe neighbors, we have wept for their situation. It's big. It's bigger than we thought it was. I mean, we thought we knew what we were walking into. This is a developing nation. There are these people who kind of are on the outskirts, but it's dire. I mean, they live in squalor, and they have nothing, and they don't have Jesus. And, you know, as often as we've had the opportunity to break bread with them, many times we've eaten many meals, our hearts have been broken because of their reality. That's kind of the backdrop of what we walked into. a problem that is bigger in scope than we ever really could have imagined. But we're not without hope, of course, because there is Jesus, and God does have a plan for the Nobe people. We are convinced of that. And it's a perfect plan to break the yoke of their oppression and to bring them to him. So we don't know the full scope of that plan, but we do know that he has given our family a heart for the Nobe, and he's given us some ideas of how to work toward that. And they're his ideas, and we're continually asking him to give us his dreams, because that's the right way, that's the good way. We talk a lot about the good way in our family, and Jesus is the good way. And he knows the best way to farm. He knows the best way to help them medically. He knows the best way to build relationship and not dependency. And he knows the best way to communicate the gospel to the Nobe people. So we're just constantly pleading with the Lord to show us his good way. So Andy's going to tell you a little bit more now about some of those ideas that he has been having with Simone.
So years ago, even you know when I was up here and working on the reservation, I felt like the Lord had really given me a passion and a vision for agricultural ministry as a way to meet physical need, as a way to share the gospel. And this is something that I've been passionate about for a while. And so we showed up in Panama with kind of this scheme of agricultural mission, this very vague, half-baked idea of what this might look like, and we met Simone, and Simone is a Nobe man. He is a believer. He is a gifted and passionate evangelist, and he is obsessed with growing food. He and I are definitely kindred spirits in that. We bonded right away. We became very good friends. The relationship that I felt with him and we had together right away is testament to the unity that we have in the spirit through Jesus. We immediately began to daydream and make plans for how we could use the growing of food to reach his village, to reach the villages surrounding and going further out. For lack of a better name, we just called it Nuestro Proyecto, which is our project. Our project is to share the gospel through the meeting of physical needs of the Nobe through agriculture. And this means to develop farming practices that are appropriate for the average Nobe farmer. The average Nobe farmer owns a shovel and a machete and nothing else, has no means to purchase fertilizers, seeds, pesticides. So our goal is to create agriculture that could still be done under these conditions, and I do believe it's possible. There is a good way to do this. It's been a crazy 6 months. I have fixed a lot of generators, boat motors, weed whackers, chainsaws. I have taxied people, I feel like, all over the Caribbean. I have taken people in for more COVID tests than I can count, coffee runs. But Simone and I still managed to move this vision forward. Oftentimes it had to take a back seat when I would have preferred that it not, but we did manage to move forward. We've done a lot of research. We've tried a lot of different things to experiment with soil fertility, natural pesticides. We've killed a lot of vegetable plants. We're going to kill some more. we have partnered with ECHO, which is a mission-based farming ministry located in Florida. We did harvest the very first cucumbers and tomatoes that were grown on that island. one person almost vomited when they ate the cucumber. That was new for them. One of our goals is to work towards the creation of a viable job, maybe several jobs, to create a model by which some jobs could possibly be created. We pray for us with that. We have some ideas that we would love to be able to move forward with that. We're excited to get back to Panama. I feel like the Lord has really given us a big dream, and we're excited to move forward in that. God is a big God. We've been praying big prayers. So on another note, we'd also like to share that our family has bought a sailboat. We needed to find housing. So living on the YOAM base was not a long-term option. So we've moved forward with the purchase of a boat. Land prices are such that we can't buy anything. So this boat was our best option. And the Lord provided us with an affordable boat. And we're going to anchor it right out from Simone's house. And this solves our short-term problem of housing and does provide exciting opportunities for the future, as we do hope to take our project out into the surrounding villages. So we'd like to, it's hard to sum up what our 6 months was. It was a really big time. But we would like to close with two stories that we will remember with us forever. And the first one, Sparrow is going to tell.
Thank you. So Amalia, Simone's wife, has a sister who is sick with a fever so bad. And Amalia had asked us to pray for her. So we were praying as a group in our house. And I really felt like the Lord was telling me that we should go and pray with Amalia's sister.
So I'm going to interrupt here. Oh, okay. So I also felt the Spirit tell me, you need to go and pray over this woman. And I said, yeah, I'm really embarrassed. I don't want to do that, Lord. And I just kept like, nah, you know what? We're praying here. You're a big God. You can like take our prayers and like do the thing. Just, I don't want to do that. We're new in the area. That's kind of weird. They'll probably think we're stupid. I'm not going to do that. Meanwhile, God is saying the same thing to Andy, and Andy is saying the same thing as me. God, no, like, no, it's too much. God, it's too much. So what did he do? He told her. And guess what? She listened.
Well, anyway, we thought that she was at her home, like, I don't know, an hour away by boat on a different island. But it turned out that she was at Amalia's house about 5 minutes away. So me and my mom and a couple others went to her house, and we prayed for her. And she was laying on a mat on the floor, and she just looked so sick. But we prayed for her, and then the next day, Amalia texted, and her sister was all better. Praise the Lord!
Yeah, so Sparrow came up to me after we were done praying, and she said, Mom, I'm kind of nervous, but the Lord told me we have to go pray for this woman. And it was just instant conviction. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, you told me that, and I didn't listen. So you told my daughter, and she did. And I was so proud, and listening to her pray over that woman, I was just weeping to see the faith that Sparrow had that I didn't have, and the way that the Lord answered. I believe he answered her prayer. I was there, I prayed some things too, but I believe the Lord answered her prayer for healing, and truly the woman was 100% recovered the next day. So yeah, like Sparrow said, praise the Lord. So okay, Andy's going to tell you another great story.
This young man is named Abram. He lives in the neighboring village, and he and I became good friends. He was probably my best, the best friend that I had while I was there. We just enjoyed each other's company. We fished a lot together. We worked on projects together. And he and I talked a lot about Jesus. We talked a lot about faith. He had a lot of questions. He was watching these things. He had heard of Jesus, didn't know much about him. He said that he was very hesitant to become a Christian and was against it because he had seen people who had said they had followed Christ and they didn't change. They made no change in their life, and that was a hold up for him.
What's that? I just like he said, I don't want to accept Christ and not change.
Yep.
That was kind of his.
He didn't want to do this without it being a 100% life choice, which I absolutely respect. So we just continued the conversation. Our family prayed for him. In a week before we left to come back home, Amy was in our motorboat. She had gone to bandage up some kid's head, and you were returning in the pouring rain. The boat motor died. She went to start it, and she pulled her back out really bad. You managed to get back to the base. You hobbled up to where we were staying. There was a group of people there that we had just met 3 days before. It was a YWAM team that had come in. We had just met them. Amy walks in. She can hardly walk. And the team immediately gathered around Amy. They all put their hands upon her. They prayed for her. They loved her. They took care of her. And Abram watched. He watched this whole thing. And later he came up to me and he said, did you know those people before they got here? And I said, no. And he said, you guys all love each other. And you just met each other 3 days ago. I've never seen anything like this. And I said, well, that when we accept Christ, we have the same spirit. The same spirit is within all of us. These people are my family. And we have the same Savior in us. And that was very powerful for him to be able to see that. So then we had to leave, but the group that was there was able to pray with him, and he made the decision to accept Christ as his Savior. This is a picture of him being baptized. I'm super excited. Now he's my brother.
We got to watch via Zoom.
Yeah.
Which was not as good as being in person, but good enough.
Yep.
I think there's one more picture on there that shows his face. So, yeah, Abram is a brother, and we are super, super, super excited to have received that news. So I hope that we have done a decent job of summing up all that has gone on. As far as going back, we leave the country on the 13th. We will, over the next couple of weeks, be transitioning off of the base into the sailboat. There he is. you can be praying for us. We aren't sure exactly what our relationship with YWAM will be moving forward. There's a lot of ins and outs with that. It has definitely been a positive experience, but we want to do what the Lord has for us to do. And if that means joining forces with YWAM, that's wonderful. If that means kind of branching out onto our and doing our own thing, that is good too. So just be praying for us as we make those decisions. And you guys, if anyone's having the inkling, there is so much work to be done. I'll just tell one more story. Andy was working with Simone, as he often does, and it's hot. It is so hot. It's like 95 degrees, 100% humidity, and in the sun, it's almost unbearable. Andy has done his best to work hard, even when it's hot. And so he will often, work all day long. And Simone approached him and said, usually gringos work for like an hour and then they get bored and then they don't do anything anymore. And he said, and you don't do that. Like you've been working day after day after day. And he was like, well, yeah, I guess that's what I do. And Simone said, do you have friends? And Andy was like, well, yeah, I have friends. Yeah. And he said, do your friends work as hard as you do? And Andy said, yeah, they do. Some of them work even harder. And Simone stopped and he said, why aren't your friends here? I want to work with your friends. And so we just have, we've held on to that. Simone wants to work with our friends, so there is incredible work to do, gospel work to do. So thank you guys for praying for us first and foremost. We have been carried on your prayers from the day that we had Pastor and Gail over and told them that we were thinking about going to Africa, which seems like a lifetime ago. But we have been carried on your prayers. And we know that when we are all seated around the throne, amen, come Lord Jesus, we will see the full scope of what your prayers did for our family. And until that time, we rest on the tangible things that we can say that the Lord has done through your prayers, and we wait with expectation to see the rest. And thank you for supporting us financially. It as individuals, as a church, it has blown us away, the ways that you guys have supported us. And you have made it possible not only for our family to be there and to be able to have the dream of being there long term, but you have allowed us to help our Nobe neighbors in ways that we never thought that we would be able to, and we know that we will be able to continue doing that. So thank you guys for doing that for us, for being our church, for loving our family, for loving our kids, for being a place that we can come back to and be welcomed. We miss you guys. We miss singing hymns a lot. I miss singing with you guys. But we are, Panama has become our home for now, and we are rejoicing in that. So it's been a privilege to share with you guys. We love you. And yeah, come visit us in Panama.
Come on down in the center here. For those of you who don't know what we're about to do here, they're going to come to the center of the aisle. Keep the center is the middle. El centro. There you go. And if you would get up and reach out and put a hand out to touch a shoulder, and if you can't reach the Schmitz, then touch somebody who's touching somebody who's touching the Schmitz. So, and we'll pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you thanks for this family. I give you thanks for the privilege it is for them to be part of our family, to be able to support them, to not only do it with financially, Lord, which is a privilege and a joy to do, but in this day and age of being able to get text messages from the jungle immediately, a prayer request, to be able to lift them up to you, to bring to you every concern that we have for them, and to watch you work in their life and to work things out. We just praise you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, for taking care of this family. We love them. We look forward to journeying with them and vicariously with them, and maybe even sending some people down to help out. And we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, and ask that you continue to watch over them. For we ask this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That's a Nobe word that we've learned that means my other half, Tikaroi. Here he comes. So we are going to do a slideshow. Good morning. It is just really great to be here with you guys. We've missed everyone so much. So those of you who don't know, my husband and I and our kids have been serving on an island off the coast of Panama with the Nobe people, one of the indigenous tribes of that area. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer. We have had a really crazy 20 days, and we're up until about 12:30 last night trying to decide what to talk about. And we never got to even pray about presenting, so I'm going to do it right now. So would you join with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for the privilege of sharing this little slice of your kingdom work that you are doing among the Nobe people. And I pray that our words would be clear, that we would be able to paint an accurate picture of all that you have been doing, Lord. Thank you that you choose to use broken vessels, Lord, to do your work. Thank you for the privilege of doing that, and we pray that the music would work on the slideshow as well, Lord. We love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So we have a little slideshow. I'm really hoping that the music works, because otherwise it's going to be kind of long and dull. So we shall see what happens. It's long. This is 13 minutes. This is 6 months worth of pictures.